Go on, John's Gospel, chapter 10, particularly verse 10. Because there, the scriptures tell us, Jesus speaking, and he says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And Jesus says of himself, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly, or have it to the full, as the NIV says. I just want to begin, I'm only going to be speaking for a few minutes on this, but a simple question. Do you have that life? Do you have that life? The one that Jesus is speaking of. We all have life in our bodies. Those of you that are here, you've all got a pulse. You've all got your hearts beating at different paces, perhaps. Some of you even got help with a pacemaker. But have you got this life? This eternal life that Jesus is referring to here. The life that he came to give to his sheep. Who are his sheep? His sheep are all those who know and love him. Know and love him more than they love themselves. More than they love anyone or anything. Those who have heard his voice. Who have heard him calling. I can call with words and I can encourage you to put your faith in the Lord Jesus. But I can't call you in the way that the Holy Spirit calls. He calls inwardly to you. He's the one who highlights what is wrong in your life and encourages you to know and to love the Lord Jesus, to trust him. And my great prayer and Lucy's great prayer, actually. Lucy, my daughter of 8 and a half, as I was leaving, she said, please do tell them, I'll be praying for them, that the Lord would save people before I go to sleep. So she won't be going to sleep just yet, but she'll be soon, and she'll be praying the Lord would save any here that aren't yet saved, and really help you to realise why we're so excited about this man called Jesus and why he means everything to us. So the first question is, do you have that life? Do you have that life, that eternal life? And eternal life isn't just the duration, but it's that quality of life. You see, eternal life has begun. Everyone is trusting in the Lord Jesus with sins forgiven, who are living to glorify him. Your life has begun. Your eternal life has begun. And you will one day close your eyes on this world and you'll open them instantly in the next, and you'll see the lovely face of Jesus. I believe that'll be the first thing we're going to see when we close our eyes on this world. But this eternal life has begun. My second question I want to think about is, perhaps you have this life, but do you have it abundantly? Do you have it to the full? Because that's the Lord Jesus' will for you, his sheep. Those who are trusting in him, who have had sins forgiven, who believe what he did on the cross was for you. Have you got this life in abundance to the full now? There's much more going to be revealed, and much more we're going to come to know and enjoy, and all eternity isn't long enough to know everything there is about God. So in eternity in heaven, we're going to be there learning and appreciating more about God, learning more and appreciating more and more for all eternity. We'll never become bored. We'll never know everything there is to know. He's going to be revealing more and more of his glory to us, and it's wonderful. But we can start to appreciate something of that fullness now. Now, here we have a warning about those false Christs, those thieves, those robbers. And perhaps we've all met some of them. Some of them who might appear to be pastors, might appear to have an interest in the flock, and yet, when the crunch comes, you realise they weren't called of God at all. In fact, they were deceiving. They were in it for some personal gain. In Brazil, I'll be showing you some things, and perhaps there it's a little bit more obvious, because most people go to church there, if they can, and so there's many churches and many church leaders, but then there's many deceptions as well, and it's very difficult, particularly if folk can't read the Bible for themselves. It's very easy to be deceived. Now here, I believe we have a great promise that ultimately Jesus will call, and his sheep will hear, and they will respond. At the end of days, they will not be deceived into hell. I believe here we have a guarantee that his sheep will hear his voice. And though we might stumble, and though we might be deceived for a season, ultimately I believe the Holy Spirit would overrule in those areas. But even today, there are some folk who are deceived by false Christs, by those who want to take the glory themselves. And there's a man on television in Brazil, and he refers to himself as the prophet. And he's on TV, he's got his own station, and you see him always with a mass of people in front of him, 5,000-10,000 people. And as he's pacing up and down, breaking out into a great sweat, he's got this hanky, and he wipes his sweat, and then he throws it into the audience. And anyone that can grab it does, because they believe it has healing properties, his sweat. And this really picked up big time, so now they're selling his sweaty hankies. And he's sold many. And he goes by the name of the prophet. Many people have been deceived by him. Many. He to the untrained eye, perhaps, he looks like a pastor. And he shouts, which is a very common way of preaching there, like a pastor. But there's no substance to what he teaches. He doesn't teach the gospel. Now, there's lots of false gospels, as well as false preachers. And there's one particular denomination out there, and they sell bars of soap that are shaped like a lamb, and if you wash with them, it washes your sins away. It's the soap of the lamb. And many people have brought this bar of soap, and they're putting their faith in the soap to wash their sins away. And you can imagine, when the soap runs out, a panic enters their mind. They must get another soap, because they've sinned since they last washed. And it's a false gospel. It's an assurance in something other than the Lord Jesus Christ. They do exist, even today, false Christs, false gospels. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he knows his sheep, and he calls them, and they will respond. Some more readily than others, some sooner, some later. Some go the long way round, choose a hard way, but his sheep will hear, and his sheep will respond. He knows them. A friend of mine, before he's my friend, he was caught up in witchcraft. And he can tell me some very unusual things he's seen and done. But he realized after a few years that his circle of witch friends were very, very wrong in what they were thinking and believing and doing. And he went in search of truth. And he had no Christians whatsoever, but he went in search of truth. And he came across a church, and someone sat him down and explained the gospel to him, and the Lord saved him. So wonderful. The Lord took him out of that blackness and darkness. If you want to know some of the things that got up to, ask me afterwards. But some very unusual things. And when they realized that one of their witch friends was leaving, they cast this spell, and they spoke this spell on a cassette for 90 minutes over and over and over and over and over. And then in the night they took this cassette to his house, and they wrapped it right around his house several times, believing that the spell would bind him in some way. But the Proverbs say that an undeserved curse doesn't rest. And he wasn't cursed. And that actually backfired in a way, because that helped him realize that the power of God is much greater than any power that Satan has. This is someone who's seen things that you wouldn't even believe. And yet he could see that the power of God is infinitely greater than the power of Satan. And he was totally released, and he's walking with the Lord still. You see, the Lord knows how to call his sheep. Even the darkest blackness, he will call them out of that darkness. I know this couple who, they sat me down once and they said to us, you know what, the lady, Margaret, she had been brought up with a very abusive mother who was very well known in the church, but no one really knew what this lady was like at home. She was quite different at home to what she was in the church. And she was very abusive to her daughter, Margaret. And this Margaret grew up wanting nothing to do with religion whatsoever. And there's a man who she would marry called Daryl. And he was brought up in an atheist family, told that religion and Christianity was all nonsense, the Bible was nonsense. And he grew up wanting nothing to do with religion either. And before they married, they made a pact. They said that, you know, we'd marry each other so long as God was never, ever mentioned or talked about, ever. And they agreed. And they got married in Ireland. And that was some years ago. And they went on like that for a couple of years. And then one day, Margaret was walking down the street and she heard the Salvation Army on a corner. And they were singing a chorus. I'm not sure what the chorus was, but they were singing these words. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? From Mark 8:36. And she heard that and she realized that was in the Bible. And she walked on, but for the whole rest of the day she could not get those words out of her head. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Now she didn't realize, but that same day Darrell was in another part of the city and he was going along. And he came across a piece of paper with those words written on. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? And he found them written on a piece of paper. He didn't even know they're from the Bible. He just saw those words. And he was thinking and thinking. And he went off. Now later that day, they were both terrified of what they should do. During the course of the rest of the day, the Lord spoke to both their hearts. And he revealed himself to them in their hearts. And they were wonderfully saved. But you see, Margaret was too terrified to tell Darrell. Because she knew the moment she said anything, not knowing Darrell's experience, the minute she said anything to Darrell, he would divorce her. And she thought, it's going to cost me my marriage. And Darrell, not knowing what happened to Margaret, was so terrified, he didn't want to say anything to her because he knew that the moment he did, the marriage would be over. So they both went to bed and neither said anything to either of them that evening. But neither could sleep. The next day, Margaret said, there's something I have to tell you. And Darrell said, before you say anything, I've got to tell you something. And Margaret was the stronger of the two and said, no, I'm going to tell you. And she said, what I've just told you, these words, what good is it for man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? I heard those sung and I can't get them out of my head, and I know it's from the Bible, from my upbringing, and I've become a Christian. Now Darrell could not believe that very same verse I came across. I didn't even know it was in the Bible, but the Lord saved me too. And that was 60 years ago nearly, and they're still married and they're still walking with the Lord. You see, the Lord knows how to call his sheep. I've told you some unusual ways. There's many usual ways as well. Some of you perhaps have grown up in Christian families, loving families, and you've heard the gospel. You've heard there's a good shepherd, and you've heard that he came to the cross of Calvary and there he died in your place. You've heard these things and you grew up hearing them, and one day it just struck you in your deepest part of your heart as a reality, and you plead with God to forgive your sins and he forgave you. That's so wonderful. There's many ways the Lord can reach out and touch his sheep and call them. But he will call them. And they will respond sooner or later. And he is a good shepherd that knows how to provide. In this life and for eternity, everything we need, not all that we want, but everything we need. We don't always know what we need. Sometimes we need persecution. Sometimes we need a difficulty. Sometimes we need things that we don't like him to think about to happen, to cause, to help us to grow and strengthen and trust the Lord and go on with him. And the Lord knows what we need. Sometimes we need a holiday. The Lord can provide those things too. What we need, he, the good shepherd, knows perfectly. If there's a billion decisions, Christ always decides and he always picks the perfect one. With all eternity in mind, with your good and his glory in mind, the good shepherd knows how to provide for his own. He knows how to give this life and life eternal. And chapter 10 verse 9 tells us that, I'll read it. Chapter 10 verse 9, I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Not he might, well, I'll do my best. He will be saved. He'll go out, come in and find pasture. We have the assurance there. You will be saved. And that's saved from everything that would cast you into hell. That's saved from the wrath of God. That's saved from hell. That's saved from your own infirmities and your own weaknesses. All that would cause you to backslide and give up the fight and disown the Lord. The Lord saves you even from your own self. You see, when you come to Christ and you say, save me, you're really saying, put me in your hands and keep me safe there, and do not let me jump out. We're told by Jesus himself that we're in the palm of his hands, and nothing can pluck us from that secure place, nothing. And when you read Romans 8, we're told there also, nothing can separate us from that great love of the Lord Jesus. And elsewhere, even if our own heart condemns us, well, the Lord is greater than our heart. Oh, when we really are saved, we're really saved. And there we are in that secure place. And not even our own faithlessness could pluck us from that secure place. God knows how to call and how to save and how to sustain, and he knows how to lead. I don't know if there's anyone here searching this evening who hasn't got that assurance, who hasn't got that peace, that joy, who's come so far and not sure if you're going to go any further. There was a man who, frustratingly for him, had to walk past a church every day on his way to work. And he really annoyed him. And he tried to find other ways to walk to work, but that was just the shortest way. Anyway, for years he'd walk past this church, and he tried not to look, and he tried not to think, and he just kept feeling drawn. And one evening he went home, and it's raining, and it's getting dark, and he thought, okay, God, right, if you're there, then I want to know you. I have to know you. And he went out to this church, and he tried the door, and it was locked. And he tried another door, and that was locked. And he tried banging, and he tried opening the doors, and there's obviously no one there. It was night time, it was raining. And he thought, right, that's it. Now I know you're not there. And he went back to his home. And as far as I know, he never searched anymore. It's interesting. You see, how sincere was he really? You see, if you're searching for Christ, then you have to search for him as if your life depends on it. Because it does. Your life, your eternal life, depends on this search. So long as you have a pulse and blood running through your body, never stop searching and asking the Lord to reveal himself to you in a way that you would know it's him, your own good shepherd, calling you to trust in him. Never, ever stop. And perhaps even today, someone might hear the Lord calling in your own hearts. And Hebrews 3:7 tells us, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Don't harden your hearts. It's so easy for us to harden our hearts. When I was doing some unusual wrong things in my past, there's certain scriptures I tried to avoid because they were convicting. And there's others I could read quite happily. They weren't so convicting in that particular area. We can all be guilty of knowing something's not quite right and yet trying to turn a blind eye to it, trying to focus on other things. Don't harden your hearts. Say, Lord, I'm here. Take me as I am. Help me to know who you are. Help me to live the life you would have me live, to trust you. And perhaps there are, I believe, some Christians here. I'd like to think the vast majority of you are Christians. And just in closing this very short word, are you enjoying that fullness of life? Is the life, the Christian life you live in today, is it more abundant than it was this time last year, 5 years ago? Are you growing? Are you in love with the Lord Jesus more now than you were? Because that's how it should be. We should have that desire to want to spend all the more time in his presence, to follow him, not by some obligation, not just because it seems the best option, but because we love him. We follow him because we love him. We want to be with him. We want to hear him speak through his words. We want to be with his people. We want to be where he wants us to be. And that we can truly say, to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Because I'm going to be in his presence. And I won't be sinning anymore. Is that really your desire in your heart? You can ask the Lord to make that your desire. You can. And I believe he'll honor that. Because he's worthy to be worshipped. With all of your heart, all of my heart, all of your soul and my soul, your mind, my mind, and even our strength. With our whole being, he's worthy of that. And if your desire is that that should be a reality, then you can ask him. And I believe he will help you with that, because it would honour him. So have you got that fullness? just going to close with a tiny little story, and I'll show you some pictures. Well, I've seen some pictures. There's a couple, a man who loved this young girl, and they went different ways. She went off into the world, and she loved him, but more as a friend. But he loved her so much, and she went off, and she tried all the things that the world has to offer, and their path crossed every once in a while in their lifetime. And each time he would see her, and his heart was so saddened. He would see the mess she was making of her life, and she never really understood how much he loved her. And she would open up her heart to him, and she would spend some time, and then before long she'd be off again in the world, with other relationships, and with all the things the world can offer. And this went on for many years, until one day he kept pursuing her. And one day he found her, and there she was in a hospital, and she had cancer, and she was an older person at this point. And he cared for her in her last dying days, and it was only then she really began to realize the depth of his love for her. And she was riddled with guilt and regrets all those years she'd wasted searching for the happiness that only he could really give her, and the love that only he could really give her. What a waste! How many wasted years! But she died understanding something of that love of his. And I believe it's something like that with the Lord Jesus. He loves you more than you realize. More than you realize. Every time you rush off into the world to find something to substitute his love, it's always going to be inferior. It's always going to be less. I hope we're not going to have too many regrets in this life. The wasted years. The times when we weren't where we should have been. We weren't doing what we should have been doing. The times we robbed ourselves of that fullness, that abundance that the Lord Jesus desires for each one of us here.